Okay, so my name is Trevor. Nathan introduced me. I do not like bubbles. I do not like bubbles at all. I hate them. I hate them bubbles, one and all. So there's some people in the room that know me. There's some people in the room that do not know me. There's some people in the room that just took a picture with me. Yeah. I'm really hoping they let me hunt their land in South Dakota. They said coyotes. Yeah, you can come and hunt my coyotes. Okay, so we're going to open up with some cool stuff. But before we do that, this book was written by my friend Tanner Olson. And we're going to open up in prayer from this. So if you have this book already, awesome. If you don't, you're going to hear something. This one's titled Morning Prayer. So if you guys would bow your head and pray with me as we open up this time, that'd be awesome. Lord, you are the center of my everything. Let my eyes be ever on you. Let my heart be changed by you. Let my hands be moved by you. Let my soul be stirred by you. Give me strength to surrender and eyes to see this life is not about me. May all of this always be for you. Amen. Okay, so here's the deal. I know a lot of times when I go into sessions and have people talking, I like to get to know the person before I start to, like, take advice from them, right? Because you guys don't know me, really. I don't really know you, which is fine. So can I get a volunteer that... Yeah, you better be careful. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, volunteering without the criteria. So here's what I need. I need a volunteer who's going to give me 5... of their dreams. So you're going to come up here and give me 5 dreams that you have that, like, are in, like, innermost part of your life. Like, they're very specific to you. You're going to, like, diverge your life to everyone else. You're going to be open about it. It's going to be embarrassing, right? You're going to open up to everybody else. What do we got for hands? Let's go right here. Yeah, come on up. Why are you surprised? You put your hand up. You picked me? Ah! Yeah. Yeah, come on up here. Okay, so you can share 5 of your dreams, and I'll share 5 of mine, deal? That way you'll get to know me, they'll get to know you. What's your name?
I'm Riley.
Riley, awesome. Tell... Yeah, Riley.
Well, okay. My first dream, I want to go to Northwestern College for political science.
There you go. Awesome. Very cool. Are you going to accomplish that dream?
I mean, I'm only a sophomore, so we'll see. Yeah.
Sweet. Cool.
I want to pass my APUSH exam next year.
Yeah. I've been out of school for so long. I passed them all. I don't know how. Yeah. Continue.
Awesome. I want to grow my faith here especially. That's definitely... I know that's not specific, but...
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
are you kidding me? Fine, you did 3.
I got 3.
2 more.
Okay. I want to get my jump float over for volleyball.
Okay. Okay.
It's just like a special type of serve.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, it's a special type of serve if nobody knew that. That's what we're working on. Yeah. Continue.
Finally, I think I want to get home safe from this trip. It's a good one.
You're awesome. Give Riley a hand. Okay, so there's a few of my dreams I'm going to share with you guys because you'll get a sneak peek into my life. So one of my dreams is to start an outdoor ministry. This was, like, said when I was, like, 19, 18 years old, and we actually planted it, and so we've begun that process. So 3 Trees Outdoor Ministry, myself, my brother who's out here in the crowd, and my wife, we're the founders of Three Trees Outdoor Ministry. We've been in existence for a little bit now. If you would follow us, that'd look really good on my resume, being the CEO of it. It would just look really great. I'm just kidding. But at the end of the day, this is a dream of mine, and it's come to fruition and started to get, like, some legs. For 10 years, I probably put it on the back burner, like, hey, I can't do this. Like, this is impossible, right? Nobody plants outdoor ministries. Nobody does this, like, nonprofit startup stuff, right? We all hear about camps or ministries, like, going down, but, like, camps that have started, they were all started in the 50s, 60s, right? And so these are, like, big dreams, in my opinion. Another dream of mine is to own a Lotus. Or a Benz SLS AMG. They're beautiful. They're my dream car. So the other night I looked at my wife and I said, hey, when we have lots of money, and she laughed. And I said, when we have lots of money, I'm going to buy a car. And she's like, oh, how much do those cost? And I was like, how much do you think? She's like, $30,000. And I was like, I said, you humor me. Those are like $40,000, right? Everybody. So that's one of my dreams. I can't wait to whip around in one of those. Actually, pause on that. That's part of actually a dual dream. But another one of my dreams is I read a chapter in Proverbs and or Ecclesiastes each day. And if I don't, I don't like beat myself up over it, right? I don't say, oh, Trevor, you're the worst human being ever. I just go to the next day, right? And I say, now we're going to read it today. And so one of my dreams is to do that each and every day until I die. Somebody said one time that Proverbs is like a book of wisdom and I want to be wiser, right, than I once was. And so this is what I do. This is one of my dreams, to read these each and every day, so that when I get to heaven and God says something like mind-blowing, I'm going to be like, I don't get it, but I'll quote you something, right? Something from like the Bible that he wrote. So this one, very few people know. I would love to own a skyscraper in Dubai. This skyscraper, who knows it? Yeah. And so this is the tallest skyscraper in the world, according, yes? Is that still true to this day? Yeah. So I want to own this, but I want to own this for one specific reason, so that I can take my Lotus from the ground and I'm going to have a helicopter to the roof party, right? We're going to create a roof if there's not one there, right? And then I'm going to drive my car on top. So it's kind of like a dual dream, a couple dual dreams in there, right? She was like, how much does that building cost? I'm just kidding. She's a structural engineer, so she knows how much that costs. And another one of my dreams, so this is number five, is to teach or preach or share messages in Switzerland, Netherlands, Russia. Right now, they need a lot of love, so I'll probably be backing up soon. And then that's kind of some of my dreams. So Trevor Kunze, as you can see, right, small dreamer because I serve a small God, right? Yeah, and here's the deal, right? We serve a big God. And so today we're just gonna cover some principles that I love to talk about in leadership. I am by no means the most fantastic leader in the world. Do I try and apply the things that I'm going to teach here today? Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Like, this is good stuff, right? And so as we go throughout this session, I would love for you guys to take notes. Not to take notes to, like, be like, oh, this is what I have to do. But take notes of, like, oh, this is what he said, but maybe this is what he meant. Or this is what he meant, but this is what I heard, right? This is what our leaders do currently, and I like that. Or this is what our leaders don't do currently, and I hate that. Does that make sense? Cool. On that note, could you guys just give your leaders that brought you here and or the kids that are helping lead this a round of applause, because they don't get it enough. Awesome. Leadership comes down to a few things, right? You have to be pretty intentional when you're leading. And intentionality comes from a few things, right? Intentionality in the past few years may have meant that you had to step out into something that you didn't want to step out into, right? Leadership in the past few years meant that I'm going to just say it harshly. There were some leaders that sucked, but they got by, right? And then COVID hit, and then some people were like, I'm done with this. You may hate me for that. I've seen it all the time. I've served with those people. I still love them, right? That doesn't mean they're any less people. It's just leadership got really hard recently, right? Who's been through the ringer a little bit in some leadership stuff? Yeah, it gets tough, right? And so that doesn't mean that you're a terrible human being. It just means leaders are like leaders that are called to Jesus. And so part of the way that I start every day is when I wake up, my eyelids go boop, right? They open up, boop. Everybody, boop. 1, 2, 3, boop. Your eyelids boop open. And the first thing I think is, oh, crap, my body hurts, right? I turned 30 a while ago. Some of you 80-year-olds are like, oh, you have got things. You don't even know. Like, you, Trevor, are in for a run, right? And so my body's like, oh, crap, you hurt a lot. And then, these guys know, because I told them all my injuries already. Like, oh, dude, these guys know. And so my body hurts, but then the second thing I do is this, really quickly. I usually pray this prayer. I say, God, thank you so much for getting me through the night. That means you have something for me, right? So I don't look back to the next day behind me. I don't look too far ahead, but I know that today God is using me for something because I didn't die last night, right? Someday I'm going to wake up, boop, and I'm going to see Jesus, or, you know, I'll know it because I'll be like, oh, car crash, went, right? That could happen. That's part of living. And so either that'll happen or I'll wake up each day and I'll say, God, you have something for me. In my opinion, leadership starts with routine in your life. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be in the morning. Mine does. Each morning I wake up and I'm like, I need a boop. Wake up, say, oh, crap, my body hurts, right? And then I'm like, hey, you got something for me, Jesus? And then I get into the Word, right? That's in the Scripture. That's a proverb for the day, and that's an additional chapter that I read. But I don't think you can be a true leader for Jesus without being in the Word. That's just impossible. And so if you can joke yourself into thinking that you can do it without Jesus in ministry or life, good joke to you. Because you can't. The things I ask people in my circle is, how are you doing spiritually? Because that's all that matters. Right? At the end of the day, when we're going to heaven, and we're leaving this earth, that's what matters. How are you doing spiritually? And then, of course, I make sure they're taken care of in other ways. But, man, you cannot be a leader that's truly leading without Scripture daily. And part of this, to show you an example, I have this. Who loves coffee? And so, what do you need to start coffee in the morning? No, lies. You need a coffee filter. I ordered coffee filters on Amazon 2 weeks ago. They did not show up. I had to walk through 105 degree heat to get coffee filters. They were the last ones at CVS. Whoever's been ordering coffee filters on Amazon, I hate you. No lie. 2 weeks ago, they're like, oh, your order's delayed. Your order's delayed. Your order's delayed. I'm like, yeah, order my delay of this. Boom! Right? And so you need coffee filters. You put the coffee filter in here. I already put some coffee in. I'll do this again, though. This is Caribou coffee. I actually could care less what I drink. It's coffee, right? Caffeine. And so you pour a little coffee. Oh, I already filled it up, so this is like a lie. And so you got a coffee filter in there. You got coffee. And then you got to go to the, you know, sink. And this is how, right. Oh, my body. You put it in here and you come over here. This coffee pot I actually ordered a while ago, too. And so I'm really glad it showed up. And so you pour the coffee in, right? The other day, somebody's like, you know, tea, all you got to do is heat up water, put a tea bag in, and then you got tea. And I was like, yeah, but actually, that's pretty good. So I had tea the other day. It wasn't coffee. And so you turn this little baby on. Yeah. And then you got to wait a little bit, right? So coffee, before you can drink it, there's some things you have to do to prep it, right? Yes? Yes. In our lives, you have to prep what you're anticipating for the day, right? So if you want to lead well other people, right, Could you stand up? Yeah, you with the glasses. No, not you. Yeah, you with the glasses on. So if you wanted to lead the guy to your left, what's his name? You have to do something in order to, like, encourage him to be led by you, right? It doesn't mean you have to look good. I'm not saying you look ugly. You don't have to be ripped. I'm not saying you're not ripped. You don't have to, like, have the best smile. He actually has a really good... Turn around. Yeah, he has a great smile. You don't have to have all those qualifications, right? But what you do need is for somebody to look at you and say, hey, I see less of you and actually more of what I want to be, right? Because we're all sinners, we all fall short. So if you actually look at me and you're like, oh, I want to follow that guy. It's like, oh, you want to follow a dude that looks awesome, amazing, handsome, and studly, like, woo. I'm just kidding. I say that all the time. My wife's like, yeah, you're right. Sit down. Leadership takes, like, some routine in your life that, like, is building up into what you want to pour out into others, right? And so as you go through, I still have Switzerland up. As you go through your life, you have to do some routine-y things that people want to see you for, okay? They want to see something in you that they want to follow. You can't be a good leader without pouring into yourself first. That means you have to do something in the morning or do something at night or do something in the middle of the afternoon that, like, gets the pot rolling. You need something to get the movement, like, the movement going, right? And my wife, and I was asking her, I was like, what should I give it as an example of, like, getting the body moving, right? And she's like, poop. She never says that. That's usually my line, right? She's like, poop. And I was like, no, we're going to do something different. So this is a picture of me back in my prime lifting. Here's a little story about me. Yeah. That's me back in my prime. Do you guys know who this is? No.
LeBron.
No. He said LeBron. This is C.T. Fletcher, underrated dude in the lifting world. This is, like, kind of him in his prime. He had 22-inch arms. The dude is amazing. I met him in Istanbul, Turkey. I was speaking in Germany, and I was flying through Istanbul, and all of a sudden, I follow him, right? He cusses like a sailor. Don't follow him. He's not, like, life example. He loves Jesus, but not like somebody you want to, like, you'll go follow, right? But C.T. Fletcher, this is a backstory. C.T. Fletcher, met him in Istanbul. He's coming through the line. Him and, like, three other jack dudes. So they're, like, going over and talking to the Marines. Somewhere in, like, the Jordan. And I was like, oh, that's the Black Superman. So he, like, kind of nicknamed himself, like, the Black Superman, right? And I had a Superman hat on, beanie. And I was like, C.T. Fletcher? He's like, oh, you're the White Superman. And I was like, yeah! I got a picture with him. I couldn't find it to put up here because I do things always different when I talk. But this is C.T. Fletcher. I've shaken his hand. He's a really cool dude. He's been through, like, heart transplants. He looks crazy different than this now. And so here's the deal. When you lift, who's a lifter in here? Or aerobics or exercise or run or raise your hand. Do you do anything, like, that you have to continuously do, right? So some of you guys will get this. In lifting, if you don't continuously lift or work out, what happens to your body? They said shrivel. That is, you're annoying. Here's the deal. So if you work out and you work out for years on 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 years, you start to, like, get your rhythm and you start to get your pump on and you start to get this, like, need to go to the gym or to run. I don't get the running part. I hate running. Right? And so, like, if you, like, continuously lift for years on years, like, let's say you work out for 7 years. And let's say after 7 years you stop for, like, 3 months. You don't pick up a weight. What starts to happen when you get back to the gym? Sore. Let's say you were benching like 400. What happens? Okay, I'm still going. Say again?
Backtrack.
Yeah, you backtrack, right? So let's say you were benching like 400 pounds and you go in after 3 months. What are you maybe going to be able to put up on the bench?
The bar.
He says the bar. No, hopefully not that much. Yeah, you're going to be, like, down to, like, 300 maybe the first day. You can get back up there pretty quick. But let's say after like more months and more years and more time, and the time in between you working out starts to deteriorate. See, the problem with a lot of times we view leadership as this idea that we gain knowledge and we gain understanding and then we're good. The problem is a lot of times we get something that works and we say, all right, let's coast. If you've ever led anything, you want to be there. You want to be at that point because then it gets easier, right? The problem is that leadership doesn't take that role. Leadership is a continuous daily activity that you're pouring into yourself. You're filling up yourself with the things that are going to grow you so that when the time comes for you to maneuver into something else, you're ready for it. Okay, we touched on COVID a little bit. That's a sour topic for a lot of people. Whatever, I understand the hurt, the pain, the success, the failures, the everything in between. So I want to talk about a video, a movie that really, really like connects, in my opinion, this idea that leadership is more than management, right? And so leadership is more than just a big like umbrella area, but it's actually a focus target, but not just a focus target, but a target. You guys know what year this movie was made? 1975. You guys all suck at movies. Jaws, right? Jaws is this movie that I think is the best for this. So Jaws has this example. Jaws is, as you can see, I took off some of the parts of time. Right? Jaws is this. She's laughing again. This is terrible. Yeah, I know I'm funny. And so Jaws is this movie about this touristy town that they operate on tourism, right? And so what happens in the movie is this person is swimming out in the ocean. They get eaten by the shark, right? Body parts roll up on shore. They investigate it. They're like, this was a shark attack. The mayor comes in. And he's like, here's the deal. If we shut down our city, right, because of this, or shut down our beaches because of this attack, we'll have no tourism. So we can't shut down the beach. So he's like, let's just call it like something that happened, like something crazy that happened, some kind of, you know, some random thing. But let's keep the beaches open because that's what we need, right? So in the one instance, the mayor was, I mean, technically, he was being a good leader, right? He was trying to do something that he felt passionate about. His job as mayor is to make sure that that town, right, functions and flourishes. So on the one hand, you could say, hey, the mayor did an awesome, awesome job. At the expense of what? Everyone else, the town, the people visiting, because then what happens in the movie, there's another shark attack, and eventually there's a bounty put on the shark, right? Could you imagine being a bounty hunter for a shark? I love Jango Fett. He's my favorite character in all Star Wars lore. And so the mayor technically wasn't wrong, but he definitely wasn't right. Our target is very important as leaders. If you go in, guns a-blazing, wow, wow, wow. And you're shooting everywhere, right? What are you going to hit? Everything and nothing at the same time. The other thing that the mayor operated on was fear. And here's what I want us to lead into for our first verse. If you want to write this down, that's awesome. The verses that I pick out are very intentional. And so hopefully you guys can pick something up on this. Isaiah 41:9-10 says this, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not." Say it.
Fear not.
for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, right? Something we know about Scripture is that is read and given for us, right? So when I read this, I don't see the people of old. I see the people of today. Fear not. The leaders that are the ones making influence and impact are fearless. They get their target and they say, this is it, so I'm going to go run after it. This is my calling, so I'm going to go run after it, right? People kick me in the butt. I'm going to still run after it. People kick me when I'm down. I'm going to still run after it because I... Who fears? Oh, if your hand's not up, please just take a look at yourself, right? Because here's the deal. We do fear. The reason it's written in Scripture is because, like, part of just who we are in life is like fearful people in a sense, right? I get scared sometimes, and then I'm like, fear not. Sometimes I get scared, and it like pushes me down, and then people have to pick me up, right? Fear not. Nathan, what time do we have? Oh, he doesn't even know. What time do we exit? Oh, okay, so I prepared for 3 hours. They said my session was 3 hours. I've gotten through the first page. Okay. I'm just kidding. But I did prepare a lot, and I thought it was like 2 hours long, and I was like, oh, 2 hours, I got this. And then they're like, you got 50 minutes, son. And I was like, you don't tell me what to do. Fear not. The person that's leading this, I love them. They're awesome. I wouldn't do that. So here's the deal. We have some people that really do well. And focusing on their target, but we also have people that really suck at it. Here's some people from of old. That's just for you guys to like pick the right target. These are some people from of old. Yo, shout out. My brother, part in the Red Sea. Yeah. Could you imagine? Oh, man. If I was, like, standing next to Moses, I'd have pooped my pants. You know, you got, I don't know the whole thing, but you got something burning behind you and, like, holding off Egypt, right? Chariots up the wazoo. Have you seen those things? I would love to own a chariot. It's not my dream. It's not my dream. And you got people behind you, like, imagine, here, come on, you kind of look like Moses. Turn, yeah, just stand right here, though. So let me put your hand up. Moses doesn't stand like that. Yeah, that's how Moses stands. And I'm standing behind him, I'm like, oh, dang it, yeah, I got my camels, right? Oh, shoot, my kids and chickens and gold that I stole from Egypt, right? And Moses is standing here, and I'm like, what's he gonna do, right? And then all of a sudden, yeah. See, he would have screwed up like Moses, right? Moses, all he was commanded to do is like say the words, right? Part the Red Sea. Is that true? What is it? Moses was a stud. Moses was a spiritual leader that was a stud in his life, right? He went up to mountaintops and he got to speak with God and brought down what is arguably some of the best things that ever happened to humanity with the Ten Commandments, right? Taught us how to walk and to live. But he had to fear not, or he wouldn't have went up the mountain. Stud number two. Yeah. By the way, if I was Moses, I'd have used that staff snaky thing way more than he did. Like, parties, check this out, right? You got a like your gopher in your house as a pet. Oh, right. Rabbits dead. Sorry, that was a tangent. That's how it happens. Paul is a stud. Paul, also known as Saul, right? See, some of you guys are knowing this stuff. Saul, he turned into Paul, and he had, like, interactions with God. He had scales put on his eyes that he couldn't see for days, and then they fell off, and he started to change his heart and his mind and his ways. He's written, like, a fourth of the New Testament. Are you kidding me? I don't think I've written anything in the New Testament. Like, that's amazing, right? Like, he's a stud, right? He's like, been on missionary trips where he's in jail and, like, he's preaching in jail. If I'm in jail, I'm just hoping I get food, right? Paul is a stud. Now, here's the deal. We know these people as huge leaders in our scriptures, in our lives, and we want to mimic them. But here's what I want you to understand. They also sucked, which means you guys suck too, right? Yeah, absolutely. They also have their faults. They also have their times where they really, really struggled in life, right? Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek, quiet, submissive. If you're an introvert, you should take heart in this, that you can be a massive leader regardless of how, like, extroverted you are. You don't have to be like everyone else. You can be like me, an introvert. Super meek. And, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, Moses wasn't this. More than all people who are on the face of the earth. Moses, a leader, a great leader, led millions of people out of Egypt, right, by God's hand. Was also meek, quiet, and submissive. He screwed it up when he talked to God at the burning bush. He screwed it up. God, I can't do this. Show me a sign. Right? Oh, crap. Read the story. Oh, crap. Think of that when you read the story, please. Oh, crap. And he's like, oh, sweet. Have your leaders tell you that story. It's a cool one. Paul. 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. In some scriptures it says the chief of all sinners, right? If God can use the chief of all sinners, he can use you too. And if he can use the second chief of all sinners, me, then he can maybe use the third or fourth, or if you think you're better than others, like a thousandth. I float around in talks, so I never cover everything I want to. But I want to do this. Can I get a volunteer? Somebody from back in that right-hand corner. Yeah. Come on up. Yeah. You're going to come right up here, okay? You can look at all my notes, too, and take pictures. It won't make sense to you. Yeah, that's fine. All you're going to do is stand. What's your name?
Mary.
Mary, nice to meet you, Mary. You're going to stand right here, okay? Hold this. I haven't used this cup more than twice today. So, leadership, you start in routine, and you start with Jesus at the foremost of everything you do, right? So we prep the coffee pot. I've drank my coffee. I drank the juice. I've done it. I'm fired up. I've had my morning poop. Mary says that's important. I didn't say that. right? And I'm energized. And so leadership takes on this next quality. I think that if Jesus was alive and like roaming the earth in the physical form, because everybody else is going to be like, he is alive and he is. Yeah, I know that. I get it right. Like physical form, like this is the first time he came down. I think he would have called a waiter or waitress to be his disciple. She's a waitress. This is awesome. To be his disciple. You know why? Because they're the best examples of what leadership has to do in their life. If there's nothing else you get from this, this is what you have to understand, okay? Waiters and waitresses, they come up because they're trying to get a tip, right? They come up and they're like, would you like coffee? And you always say, yes, absolutely. And you can be aggressive because you haven't had coffee yet. Like, yes, yeah. Okay, hold a coffee up. Okay. She's shaking. This is awesome.
I'm a little nervous.
Okay, that's okay. So they give you a cup of coffee,
oh, this
right?
This is hot.
This is hot. We just brewed it. It's right here. Yeah, you can put it down, but okay, sip a little bit of that coffee. No one has drank out of it, right? No, you got to sip out of it. Yeah, yeah, you have to. And so you're sitting there, you're talking with people, and they're like, you're just like, you're having great conversation. What? Is it too hot?
A little bit.
Okay, you can just pretend to sip, right? And so then you're like having conversation, and you're having conversation, and then as you're like having conversation, the waiter or waitress, they come up to you and they're like, hey, would you like some more coffee? Or the best ones don't even ask. They just come up and they're like, oh. Right? They pour some more in there. And then, do you need something to hold it? Here. Wrap this.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then they come up to you and they pour into you a little bit more coffee before it gets all the way to the bottom. Because if it gets to the bottom, they get no tip, right? That's my rule. They get no tip if the cup goes empty, right? And so they come up and they're pouring into you and they're pouring into you and they're pouring into you. And eventually, what do?
No.
Before we leave. Yeah, right here. What do you put your hand over the cup. Because your body has now been injected with about 1,000 milligrams of caffeine. And you are just on top of the world. And your body is about to explode. But they've been filling you up. So you actually have no idea how many cups you've actually drank, right? And all of a sudden, you're now at this point where, like, you have to tell them, I'm done. You want to be the best leader in the whole flipping world? Go get yourself filled up and then pour into people so that their cup never goes empty. Because what happens if you let a cup go empty as a human being is you feel defeated, you feel rejected, you feel unwanted. You feel discouraged. What can you do with an empty body? Nothing. See, if I'm pouring into Mary, and she's somebody that I want to grow into who God has called her to be, if I ever let her cup get to the point where it reaches the bottom, you start to have issues. And leaders are going to pour into. Thank you. You can go sit down. Leaders are going to pour into the people that they're leading around them. If the last thing you get from this is that a great leader doesn't sit at the sidelines and manage, a great leader doesn't sit there and complain, a great leader doesn't look at somebody and say, wow, they're looking pretty empty today, I wonder what's wrong with them. The greatest leader is going to go up to people and keep filling their cup up. A great leader, like Jesus, is going to continue to fill up the cups of people around them. The story I want to share with you, we don't have too much time, so I'm not going to like whatever. I'm going to recap a story. Jesus was going through a town, and this man, he came up to him and said, "Hey, my daughter is dying and needs help." He says, "Okay, let me come help you." And he goes and starts following the crowd, rushes in around him, and this lady, she's been like bleeding for years, comes up and touches his cloak, right? I'm paraphrasing for everybody that doesn't know this. This isn't the like verbatim story. Touches the cloak and is healed. The guy's daughter's dying, right? It's pretty urgent. And Jesus stops. He stops and looks around and says, "Who touched my cloak?" And you know, there's some mumbling and talking, and finally the lady comes forward and she says, "Hey, I touched your cloak and I've been healed, and thank you, and thank you, thank you, thank you, I've been healed." And the guy comes back up and he's like, "Hey, don't worry about it, my daughter's already dead." And they go still to the man's house and heal the daughter, right? That's how the story goes. And the point of this is Jesus is pouring into people always around him, and he always has time to pour into them. As much and as important as life looks around us, if God puts somebody next to you that has an empty cup, I know that he'll give you what you need to fill them up. At the end of the day, great leaders are not the people that do everything specifically right, as the world would say, but it is everything that Jesus gives you to say. And that starts with him in the Word, and that starts with him at the center of your target. Nothing else is more important than that. And then we go fill up people, we pour into them. Would you guys bow your heads and take a knee with me if you can? If you can't, that's fine. Would you guys grab a knee? God, because you are most worthy to be praised, and you are the King of our life, and you are the Lord of everything. God, I screwed up today, I'm sure, and God, I ask that the words that were spoken were heard according to what you had for them today. I ask that the working in their life goes deeper than we'd ever know, God. And I ask that because you used Moses, because you used Paul's, Saul's, God, you can use even Trevor Kunze, which I don't get, but I thank you so much, Father. And I ask that you use them as well. Just one leader can change the trajectory of everyone knowing who you are, Jesus. And I bestow that a blessing upon these people here, upon the people in Houston, Father. I thank you so much for giving us the greatest example of what a leader should look like, God. And let the aroma of coffee never burn the same in our nostrils, God, but let it just sink into our hearts and our minds that we see what you have for us in being the leaders that you desire for us to be. Father God, go before us in everything. Be behind us for the things that we left slacking, and be in us, Father God, for the rest of our life. I love these people. Oh man, my heart loves them. I love you so much, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.